guys, welcome to the roundtable. My name is Corinne Bates. I'm the worship ministry leader here at Life. Over here is Jenny Walker. We've got the social media ministry leader. And in between us, we have Dr. Jesse Haft. Woo! Yay!
Clappy hands. We have to use our clappy hands.
Yes, thank you. Because we were given these clappy hands from Linda and Jem Ghoul. So we want to thank them for giving them to us. They're amazing. But what episode number is it?
112.
112.
Did I not say that?
I don't remember.
I apologize. And Norman. Norman is here today as well.
And you might have noticed this is an all-woman podcast going on right now, which we're super excited about. Sorry, Mike. But he was, when I was telling him that we were going to be doing it together, mm-hmm. he was like, oh, this is a episode that I'm going to need to watch. So we got to do good things for Mike.
Course.
Here we go.
Do good things.
So Jesse, I had asked you a question earlier.
Yep.
So the crazy, I'd asked her for a crazy but true fact about yourself. And what is it?
I actually had a songwriting contract with Big Machine Records.
What was that about?
He had a songwriting contract with Big Machine Records. What is Big Machine Records?
I had an offer to write songs for them.
What?
And I turned it down to go get my PhD.
Oh my
gosh. Wow. Wait,
that's
so
amazing.
Are you like really good at writing songs?
No.
So how did that happen?
I really don't think I am. Because I have zero musical talent other than like literally words and sometimes singing.
Okay.
That is my only, so I'm not a composer. Don't ever ask me to play you a musical instrument. I will be like, ting, ting, ting. Like, I don't know how, I honestly feel like it was a fluke and then meant to give it to someone else. But
okay, so what's the backstory about that?
So like, where were you at in life? There was, so I was finishing my master's and I just started like playing around on YouTube and I submitted a recording of myself singing a Taylor Swift song.
Which one?
The love story one. The fairy tale.
Yes. Oldies.
So anyways, I submitted that to America's Got Talent and they actually had me come on. I didn't ever actually, but I didn't make it on TV.
Okay.
So I'm like, I keep telling, I'm really not that good. Like, so.
But you were there. You saw
that. But they brought you on. That's so cool.
Fairy, hey,
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Wait, did you dress up or anything?
No, I was super boring.
Okay.
I didn't make it on because I was very late. I was like, I just want to be a singer. Like, so they did not choose me because I didn't have any cool story. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, there's so many people that show up to those auditions mm-hmm. and we're all the same. Like, we can all sing and there's really not a lot of like things to make people stand out
yeah.
other than, mm-hmm. you know, like some really cool story. And I didn't have that. So,
but you obviously did because somehow you were asked to be a composer.
Yeah.
Wait, not a composer.
Writer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so they sent me like this little letter thing and like several people reached out and I was like, that's so cool. Also, just got a full ride opportunity to the University of Kentucky for Soils. So I'm going to go do that instead because I would rather be rich and not famous. But I also
that's
not
fair.
Rich, so.
That's fair.
Yeah. So tell us your doctor.
Yes.
So you turned it down to become a doctor.
Yes. So I can't save anyone's lives. But
with Soil, you can.
Yes.
Soil,
yes.
I've got mm-hmm. you. So I got my PhD in soil science. And
why?
I really wanted to be a professor, like so bad.
Okay.
Because I really like talking in front of groups, even though I'm the world's most like awkward, nervous human being. If you meet me in person, I'm just like, but I nervously talk. So it gives people.
I get that.
It gives people the illusion that like I feel comfortable.
You're outgoing.
Yeah.
And I'm like just rattling like on my first date with my husband. I was like, this is my car.
Yep.
This is a door. If you open it, it's dirty. There's a dent over there.
Yes.
Sometimes it leaks water. And she was like, I'm going to go to my car now. And I was like, okay.
But you're married. So how did that work out?
I somehow bamboozled him. I don't know. Like when I asked him, I was like, what are your likes? And he's like, I don't know. I like ketchup. Because he was nervous too.
Oh my gosh. So it was like a weird togetherness.
Yes. We're like two awkward weirdos who just were meant to find each other in the storm. I don't.
So a speaker.
Yeah.
So is that what you do?
Yeah. I talk a lot in front of students. I'm a professor. And so I profess a lot about soils.
So poop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, essentially worm poop. Yeah.
Worm poop.
Worm poop and stuff that breaks down from rocks.
Oh, into I'm thinking bits. Of sewer like, and then soil. So, okay, this whole
but
time.
The reason that you're thinking that
because
is
soil,
because
like you soiled your pants.
So like, oh, yes, it? Yes. Like,
so, okay. So it's funny that you got to look up soil your underpants.
Yes.
It's a study. They buried a bunch of underwear in all these fields that are managed in different ways. And basically when they tried to find them like 6 months later,
oh,
it showed
sick.
Like how microbiologically diverse the soil was based on how it was managed. So like there's this whole ecosystem I could go on forever.
Oh my gosh. No,
like,
so yeah, like dirt soil.
Ew. Literally. Okay, I get it now.
But there is some poop in dirt soil.
I get it now.
That is because I also, like I do a little side business with septic.
Oh, so I'm getting the two. That's right. The diva.
Yeah.
Diva
yeah,
what?
Dirt diva.
Dirt diva.
Dirt diva.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, huh. But so did you grow up wanting to work with soil?
No.
Or how did that
not
happen?
At all. Yeah,
how did
I that grew come up about? Wanting to be a large animal vet. I wanted to be a beef cattle vet. I went to school for that. I was very good at it. I lived at like the beef unit. I grew up on a cattle ranch. Like I love cows so much. I don't know how I didn't end up in that. Like anyone who knows me growing up is like, wait, you don't have cows? What? I just, like, in my last semester of undergrad, I took a soils class and was like, wow, this is fun. I should, like, explore this a little. So then I did a master's in it, and they had me teach classes, and I really liked listening to myself talk to you. So I started just kind of working towards that instead. And honestly, to this day, I could – there's a big part of me that still wants to go to vet school.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I love soils. And, I mean, I'm 39, so what's the
– Hey, it's not never,
to, never, too
never
late.
Too late. Too,
it's no.
true. It's true. I guess I have actually had students who are like in their 70s, and I'm like, you are amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you think the biggest like soil misconception is for like the commoner, like us lay people?
Okay, so
like thinking it's poop.
No, actually, that's
is that that's
the
common.
First. No,
no, I'm the first.
You're the first.
Wow, that makes me feel really special.
You are special.
Thank
Jenny.
You. Thank you.
So probably the biggest misconception is the term dirt. Even though I use it as my business name, most people think that soil and dirt are the same thing, but actually dirt is like inert, unbiologically active soil. It's like soil that's been misplaced like on a tire or dust in the air or so it's not actually doing anything.
Dirty.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
so your shoes
okay.
get dirty.
Right.
But you're walking on soil.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's probably the biggest misconception. Okay. Mm. Also, everyone always thinks that all like my PhD is in gardening, which I love to garden, but it's not.
Is there such a thing as PhD in gardening?
Well, yeah, if you want to be an agronomist.
Wow, I've never heard
say
that.
That word again.
Agronomist.
Agronomist.
Yes, wow. Or a crop scientist as well. Like those are probably more inclined to have a PhD that would be
that's
more
fascinating.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I always am so. Like blown away how much goes into so many different things. Like I'm sure
yeah.
like having a PhD in soil is so helpful for like farmers or mm-hmm. yeah, for cattle and different things. But like I would never think of that of like, oh yeah, let's like take apart the soil and look at it. Like,
yeah.
No,
yeah. But it's probably foundational to yeah. irrigation and
mm-hmm.
yeah,
life like, of plants.
It's so fun. I love it.
So when you're teaching these classes, who are you teaching them for? Like, what will they eventually become?
So a lot of them are like natural resource specialists or people who are going to work for the Department of Natural Resources, DNR.
Officers
okay. take a lot of my trainings. Health departments across the state,
mm-hmm.
They have to have some knowledge of soil science. There are people who take it who are going into like water quality, like because there's a huge relationship between soils
yeah.
and water. Mm. So stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow.
I've had a couple like biology majors, wildlife management majors. I had a music major once. That was kind of fun though.
That's really weird.
I was like, how did you end up here? But I love that you're here right now.
Yeah.
Like,
so. We can talk about Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I love Taylor Swift.
Did you go to her concert?
I really wanted to.
You didn't?
I have too many children to buy one
yeah.
of those tickets.
Yeah. Tell us maybe it. Like a little bit about yourself and things you're interested
yeah.
in right now.
I love peacocks. I have a.
What? Is that your favorite animal?
It really is. Right now.
So you have a peacock?
I have eight of them.
They're allowed in Indiana.
They are, yeah.
Like on mm-hmm. your own property
mm-hmm.
instead
yeah,
of the
yeah.
zoo.
Yeah.
How do you get a peacock?
So one of my former students gave me some some chicks because, so we took a field trip to his farm, and when I opened their barn to hide from the rain, there was like all of these peacocks in the rafters.
Meant to be.
And I was just like, oh, you know, like, they're so beautiful. And then they gave me some chicks and I raised them, and all of them are named Pierre because I can't tell them apart. And then I bought some more after that. And so that's our biggest male. His name is Pickles Cool Ranch Dorito.
Oh, that's cute.
Pickles Cool Ranch Dorito and Pierre.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And Pierre 1, 2, 3, and 4. yeah, they're so fun. Yeah. And then like probably my biggest hobby is chasing around our very large family full of children.
And how many kids do you have?
So 6 total.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have all of them.
so, okay.
Yeah. No. I co-parent. Mm-hmm. My husband was married before me. So I've got 4 amazing bonus children. Mm. And then we had twins together. So the 2-year-old twins.
2-year-old twins.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so much. They are so much fun and so wild and so amazing. And I never sleep. So
I bet.
If I see you and I'm like, that's why. It's 100% them.
Twin life. Do you have twins in your family?
Yes.
Or is it on the like mom side or the dad side? I can't remember.
Both for me.
Oh, it's on both for you?
There's just like nothing but twins in my family.
So you kind of knew that you might have twins?
And I've always wanted them.
You like, have?
Since I was a little girl, I was like, please, can I have
twins? So they are, are they identical, fraternal?
They're fraternal, okay. Boy-girl twins, McKenna and
Brantley. Oh, boy-girl? Mm-hmm. Aw.
Yeah, they're the best.
I've always wanted to be a twin. Like an identical twin. Mm-hmm. And then like,
people would never be able to tell you apart.
Yes. Then I would go in, and if she was smart, hopefully, you know, she didn't have ADHD, she could go in and do everything. Or go on a date with me, with somebody. And then, you know, then I wouldn't be so weird.
Listen, if we ever went on a road trip, we would get nowhere.
Nowhere.
Oh my gosh. I'm serious. Okay. So I actually think ADD is a superpower.
It really is.
I really do. Like,
no, it is. So you have it too?
Yes.
Okay. I thought.
100%.
Okay. I thought so.
Man, I'm the odd one out. Nick's got, don't you got ADD over there too, buddy?
Yeah, pretty much all of us in this room.
Sorry, friend.
Speaking of ADHD, okay, we're going to take it way back for a second, okay, and we're going to go in my question book.
Yes.
So we haven't been in this since the first season, late to my clapper, but we're going to go ahead and use it anyways. So I'm just going to scroll through this, and what I have in my hand for everybody that is listening is my dating book. It is actually my old dating book. I had to find it, but it is a bunch of questions and they're super fun. And so we're just going to get to know you really quick in a speed dash question way. Oh, yeah, I think they can kind of see Norman.
Norman.
Well, I just feel like we didn't introduce Norman.
Oh, we didn't introduce Norman.
I'm so sorry.
This is, yeah, Mike.
This is Norman. You look over there.
He is our other co-host, Mike.
Yes. I don't know where you're going.
Star of the show. Okay,
he
I'm
is.
Sorry.
And
I'm
he
sorry.
Is Corinne's dog for everybody that is listening. All right, I'm gonna just going to sweep through and tell him I'm going to stop, okay? All right, ready? Go.
Go.
Stop. So stop? Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to just tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Where would you film an action adventure movie?
An action adventure movie?
Where would you film it?
The Bahamas.
The Bahamas?
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
That would be amazing.
Listen, I just was listening to this podcast, and you know the new song with Jason Aldean how it's becoming this whole big thing. They had the lynching wherever he had picked his. Or, well, it really wasn't even him that picked the spot. It was his, like, producers or somebody. But now they're saying that he picked the spot because it was in this place in Georgia, and it was lynching, and it's racist. But you want to know what's really funny about this song? There is nothing in the song
that I've ever heard it, to be honest.
It's new.
It's a new song. Oh, it just came out.
It came out in May.
I've never really been a Jason Aldean fan, to be honest.
Me either. I don't like country. But you haven't heard this?
I love old country.
You haven't heard this on the news or anything?
So I've seen a couple of things, but I haven't actually like clicked on it.
Okay. So it's a big deal. Yeah. They're like saying he's a racist and all these things. But anyways, there is nothing in the song that has any indication that of race, like none. Oh. So everybody's making this big deal saying he's super racist. And I mean, it's become like this huge thing, which is completely ironic because rappers, what do they rap about? Murder and gangbang and, you know, all that crap, but which is true. Like they all do that. But anyways, it's just insane. They took the perception of just hearing. So it starts out with him saying it's a small town. It's like, this wouldn't happen in my small town or don't come to my small town or something like this. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about, Nick? I know you do.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. But they're like come to the small town and I'm going to shoot you up. Basically, they're protecting themselves. But anyways,
So you wouldn't film an action film in a small town, or you would film?
I would film it at this lynching spot. No, I'm just kidding. Gosh, no, but the story is like he had no idea that that's what it was, and they're making this whole big deal because his hometown's in Georgia. But no, I would film my adventure movie in the Queen's Palace.
Oh, okay, that would be pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna do one more.
Okay.
You ready? Mm-hmm. Tell me when to stop. I'm going.
Stop.
Okay. Now tell me when to not move my hand.
Talk about Jason Aldean's song again. Stop.
Okay. What is your favorite and least favorite? Oh my gosh, we can't ask this question. Okay. I'll just ask anyways, but we're not going to answer. It says, what is your favorite and least favorite time of the day to make love?
Oh.
We're going to find another one.
Yeah.
How many hugs do you need a day?
1,000. I am totally a physical affection, love language all the way. I'm like, my poor husband, he's an introvert, so I exhaust him. And I'm like always touching him, and yeah, I'm basically Velcro.
What about you?
It depends on who it's from.
Yeah.
I don't like hugs from everyone, people who are like, who it's meaningful, or they don't like giving hugs, but they give me a hug. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always
such
meaningful.
A good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to amend my answer
to that. Yeah. Same.
There's a select group of people who may hug me indefinitely throughout the day.
Right. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take it back to your childhood.
Oh, yes.
So back when you were growing up.
Jessie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you grow up in the church? Like, what did God look like in your life during that time?
Okay. So the only thing I knew about God was what I read in a picture. I did not read it. I saw a picture book behind my babysitter's couch one time, and it like had pictures of like lava and stuff, and, like the 7 days of creation, or, you know.
Huh.
And
no, I don't know.
So that was what I knew about God growing up. I was not raised in the church, adamantly not at all. And so when I was in high school, one of my friends was like, hey, do you want to go with me to youth group? And I was like, are there cute boys?
that's the true reason why we all go to youth group at first.
For sure. And the only cute boy that I saw there had a girlfriend. So I was like, this is no longer fun. And then I went a couple of times in high school, actually went on a mission trip, did not know Jesus, went on this mission trip to build houses in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I wasn't even a member of their church. I think they were just trying to save me. I needed it. And then a couple times in college, you know, had like a couple interactions with people. But I always like prayed. And I don't know how I knew God when I didn't know God, but I did know God.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like I remember, you know, like, a lot of people, whenever I was having a hard time or I was heartbroken, I was like, God, please send me a nice boyfriend. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
So the concept was there.
The concept was there. But
you just didn't know who you were praying to.
Yeah, exactly. So then one of my friend's mom, she had a Bible on her coffee table, and it was a study Bible. And so I kind of read a little bit of it when I was there because she picked me up from the airport. It was Ben and I was in Kentucky, blah, blah, blah. Because I grew up in California and I went so I moved to Kentucky with like nothing when I was 25, like a suitcase, a guitar. I didn't know how to play. I don't know why I keep carrying these music instruments.
Yes, you do.
I don't know how to play it.
So you were born and raised in California then. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I am not, I'm not a crazy Californian. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very small town in the middle of nowhere. With cows, so many cows, more cows than people. So, and I like guns. So we got that out of the way.
Yeah, there we go. Misconceptions.
Yeah, seriously. So I would walk by this church every day in Kentucky, and I was like kind of reading this Bible on her table. And so I was like, I'm going to go check this out. And so I started going, and they baptized me, and I like started to really have a relationship with Jesus. And then somebody was like, hey, did you know that the world is only so many years old and that nothing you're learning at college is right? And I immediately, which no offense to anybody who believes that, but at the time I was like, I can't do this. And so I stopped going to church.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like somebody literally from the church sat me down and was like, I know you're probably learning about geology in your PhD program, but we need you to know that the world is only 2,000 years old, no matter what they tell you, blah, blah. And I was like,
what kind of church was it?
Some kind of Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't get that far. They're super nice. Like they, you know what? They were doing the work of the Lord in a lot of ways. Like maybe that instance wasn't like the best delivery, but they really were doing like the work of the Lord. Like they fed me when I didn't have food. Like they were my family when I had just moved to Kentucky and I had nothing and no one. Like I didn't have a car. Like they were so kind.
Why did you move to Kentucky?
Just ask that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I got an email in like the middle of July saying, if you can get to Kentucky in 2 weeks, you have a full ride scholarship to get your PhD at the University of Kentucky. So I sold everything I owned, including my car, and I packed a suitcase and took this guitar I didn't know how to play. I bartended for a week at the fair, made $200. My grandma bought my one-way ticket flight. Someone who worked at the college picked me up at the airport, dropped me off at my university apartment. I went to the dollar store and bought like a cup and a plate and a spoon and a and I packed one of the things that I packed in my suitcase was a blanket.
Hey, that's
so
smart.
Like, and it was a furnished apartment. So like I had nothing. Like it was just me and like I didn't even have the internet yet. So I can't even say it was me and the internet. So I started like walking to work. It was across the street. Would walk by this church all the time. So anyways, that was my first introduction to Jesus was at that church.
So you just walked into the church. Like what led you? There. Like, were you having a day where
I was so lonely?
Like was something building up before? Okay.
Yeah. Like I was scared. Like I had never really left my family.
Yeah.
Like I was 2,600 miles away from everything I'd known. I was like this broke college student. I was heartbroken because I had like ended this long-term relationship that I really thought was going to be like the rest of my life. And, you know, at that point, my heart was crying out to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to lean into him and then went right back out of it. And I would talk to him and I remember reading Psalms. I still have the Bible they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like three highlights in it.
So you went back out of it after that 2000?
I did, yeah.
So what happened after that?
I finished my PhD program, met a wonderful man. And
is he who you're married to today?
Nope.
No. But he's part of the story.
He's part of the story. An integral part of it. He's actually, I hate to give him this credit, but he's a part of how I got saved.
We were
supposed to get married on the 4th of July in 2015.
Wow.
And on June 30th, we called it off. He had met someone else and we had like 375 people that were supposed to come to our wedding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On like June 30th and you were getting married on...
It was horrible.
No idea.
I had no clue. So for like 2 weeks leading up to that, he had been like off and he kept dragging his feet about getting the marriage license. And I was like, the wedding is next week. Like,
yeah.
We have to get it. Like, what is going on? And he was having like, even though I didn't really know Jesus, I wanted to have premarital counseling, even though we were living together. Like I was doing nothing right. but anyways, the signs were all there, but I was just like, oh, we're getting married, you know? Like,
yeah.
And we never really fought or anything. So there wasn't really like this big thing. Hmm. So even though all the signs were there, it just hit me out of nowhere. So long story short, we called off the wedding. I was not okay.
Yeah.
Months before that, we had gone to this church and I had left my information on like a newcomer card and the pastor had called and left me a message. And I, for whatever reason, his name is Eric, not my current husband, Eric, different Eric. He had called me and left me a message and I had saved his contact.
Interesting.
Which
that's,
I had.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And it was a very like charismatic church. So I was freaked out. I was like, there's a lot of dancing. This is weird. Which is really funny now because that's like totally my jam. So I was like, not okay. Like I would definitely admit to suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, I actually heard the voice of God and he saved my life. And I called Eric and I met with him and we started meeting every Tuesday. And he explained to me like why they worshiped the way they did, but that I didn't have to do that. He showed me in the Bible where there's verses that support that. I started going to church. I got saved. I got, I almost said I got married to Jesus. I mean, I did.
Yeah.
I got baptized in a hot tub in someone's backyard. Nice. In my wedding dress.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. In your wedding dress?
In my wedding dress.
That's amazing.
Okay, yeah. So take us back to that moment when you heard God. So what was going on in that time?
That was...
like, where were you at? What was happening? Like,
it was not good. It's like not a good part of the story. I was knocking on... So I'm very comfortable with power tools. Mm-hmm. I was actually knocking on the ceiling to find a beam to put a hook to hang myself. Mm-hmm. I actually was fully planning on killing myself. And I heard his voice. Like, it almost brings me to tears thinking mm-hmm. about it. Like, and it was terrifying. It was actually like,
yeah.
Like I oftentimes, oh, it's so sweet. It was the greatest moment. It was so terrifying. Like it was this booming, scary drop on your knees immediately. Like not, I guess scary isn't the right.
I know, understand it's what fear. You're saying. You like fear I mean? Of the Lord, yeah. Essentially. Like oh my gosh, what
that
am I doing?
Is God. There is nothing else. Yeah. That is all I yeah. want out of life is that voice. Hmm. But also like, I bow down to you like immediately. Like you don't want me to kill myself, Kay? I will not.
So then what did you do after that? Like after that moment?
I went to my phone and I immediately went to Pastor Eric.
Okay.
And he said, if you meet me at Cafe Royal, which is in Newcastle, can you meet me there in a few minutes? And
wow.
So I went down and I met him and it saved my life. Sorry, I'm getting like emotional.
No.
It was the most beautiful thing. Like
if you see like all that heartbreak that you went through
yeah.
with, well, I don't know.
Like he leaves
you're
the
like,
99 to find the one.
Right.
And I'm the one.
Right.
Like in that instance. Like
yeah.
I was the one. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God. Mm-hmm. I really wouldn't. Hmm. Like he put me in a church to meet this man and save his contact because he knew that there was going to come a time in the near future where I would need him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much he loves us. Like it's incredible to me. And I'm a scientist. Like I'm a very factual, science oriented. Like none of this makes sense. Like
yes.
If I told a psychiatrist this, they'd be like, so you're hearing voices.
Yeah.
That's cool. But like but like there's nothing about God that has to make sense. He mm-hmm. just is.
Yeah. If it made sense, he wouldn't be God.
Exactly.
That'd be too easy. Wow.
Yeah, it's
just, yeah, it just makes mm-hmm. me think like if you wouldn't have went through, like you had yeah. to go through the horrible breakup
yep.
to meet that guy.
Yes.
Cause was that his church, your ex?
So it was he grew up with someone who was his best friend and their family had gone there and was really close with the pastor. And they told us we should be going there cause we were doing our premarital counseling with them. And
so he
like,
wasn't a Christian.
Church. He was just not.
He didn't have a relationship with God.
Yeah, okay. He wanted to. He just wasn't really living it out. Neither of us were.
Right.
Like, not judging him at all.
In Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
So, Indiana. The move from Kentucky to Indiana.
Yeah. So, at the end of my PhD, I got an email and there was like a part time job.
Man, you've had these emails.
I know.
Great emails. I know. Like, there's so much God in my story. Mm. Like, I had an email for a job and it was a part time job and I just wanted the practice
yeah.
for the interview. So, I took.
And what was the job?
It was for Ball State to be...
what you are now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a part-time position. And I told them I didn't want a part-time position. They said, well, what if we made it full-time? And I'm like, that sounds great. And then the year after that, they opened a permanent position. And I applied
wow.
for it. Mm. And I took it. And now they're stuck with me.
Forever.
Because I got tenure. They had no idea what they were doing when they signed that paper.
So that all happened here in Indiana.
Yep.
Okay. So when did you meet your now husband, Eric? Mm,
yeah. Okay. So I was like straight up only dating Jesus for 3 years. So
after the I come to Jesus mm-hmm, moment like mm-hmm. that.
Okay. I was like, no more men.
Uh-huh.
Not forever. But like I literally prayed. I said, Lord, I want you to put me in like a secret little cove.
The Jesus bubble
yes,
is what it's
the
called.
Jesus bubble.
You get a lot of those at rehab.
Yes.
Just
great.
Saying.
That's great.
It's true.
I just prayed. I said, none but the one. I want none but the one. So just keep me in a bubble. I don't even want to date until you release me.
Did you have a specific prayer that you would pray like over your husband?
Oh no.
Mm-mm. Or just like about like, I mean, you say just vaguely.
I was leaning on Isaiah 54, which talks about like the brokenhearted woman who's like left behind, and it's like, you know, supposed to represent Israel, but whatever.
Yeah.
For me, it was.
Yeah,
it was you.
Yeah, it was me. Mm. So I would just pray that like I would just not be interested until the right one came along. And after 3 years, I was like, I was both like annoyed, but also like, I could get used to this.
Yeah.
This is great and amazing and wonderful, but also, are you actually going to bring me a husband? But also I'm okay with this and I never want to date again. But all, and so anyways.
You just said my inner thoughts from like this morning.
Literally. I get it.
Yeah. Because
how old were you? I'm 39 now.
But how old were you then?
I was 33 when you met my husband.
Yeah, so I'm 32.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, what there. The heck?
Yeah. At 32, I was like, but I want to have children.
Right.
And I'm running out of time.
Yeah, geez, like the clock is ticking,
like,
man.
Cheese and crackers.
Did that make you stressed out even more?
Yes. Because I'm like, I feel like I should be getting on with this, but also like, I don't want to do the wrong one again.
Yeah,
So it was like, sometimes I felt anxious, but most of the time I was like, yeah, this is cool. I could do this. I had my little princess palace, like the Lord gave me a house, and I loved it. I could have just like stayed there forever. So it, you're everywhere when you're single.
Mm-hmm.
But then it like started lifting and it was like, oh, it's time to date.
Really?
And I was adamantly against online dating. And that's where I met my husband.
Okay, see?
I was so against it. So I was like, I felt the Lord telling me that I was supposed to go on Match.com. And I was like, no, I will not window shop for a husband.
That is what it is. It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Swipe.
Yes. And so that's where I met Eric. He's so cute.
So what did you think when you saw his picture for the first time?
He was so cute. And it was an old photo. He totally catfished me.
Did he?
I mean, he was cute in person, but that was an old
photo. What was his bio? Do you remember?
Something about like, you know, I have it all on my phone somewhere.
That's amazing.
Like, something about kayaking, love the outdoors. He does not.
He does not.
That liar.
What the heck? Let that man fool you.
Maybe he did like back in the day.
He did. He, for a little while, he liked like kayaking.
Like his old picture.
When he was single.
Yeah.
When he was single, he went out and did things.
Men take horrible pictures anyways.
Yes.
So, I mean, you can see their picture.
From like mud things, like those mud dashes.
Oh,
what are they called? Spartan.
What you're doing?
Those kinds
of tough mudder.
Yes,
she's
yes.
doing a tough mudder this weekend.
He did a bunch of tough mudders, and like so that's where all his pictures were from. And I was like really big into lifting. Mm-hmm. I did.
You were.
Yeah. I did.
So why don't you anymore?
Because
you have 6 punches as champs. You can now.
That's true.
Yep. We'll see you.
So yeah, you will actually, because I love working out. I blew out my back at a competition in 2016 or 17. Or something like that. Mm. Anyways, but I'm good now. I was actually miraculously healed.
Well, hey, we've got a Spartan DECA event coming up this weekend.
This weekend. Yeah, we
here.
Do.
It's right here.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna come cheer you
on
Friday and Saturday.
I'm gonna come cheer you on.
Okay.
So I loved competing. Like it was like, you, so much fun. Like,
and we're gonna have an amazing Grace. So you can prepare for Amazing Grace October.
There you go. Yep.
28th.
Yes. 28th.
Awesome.
Or 27th?
29th.
28th. Yes, I was right.
28th.
29th.
28th.
It's really close.
Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's for cancer services is what the money's going for. So you can use your 6 punches and then get a membership.
I love this.
And then do it with us.
Okay.
You can be my partner.
There's also
you want to be my partner?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm like,
what you say? I was going to say, there's also a grow night class, I think.
There is. Exercise your faith.
I love this plan.
See?
This is so good.
There.
Fitness.
Yes.
No, it is so important.
I know. I need to get back in it.
Me too.
Bad. Anyways.
Same.
Okay. That story that we were on.
Where I was at.
We were talking about your husband. We are at 34 minutes.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
You met your husband at Match.com. He catfished you.
He's so cute. He was really sweet in person. We've talked like for hours on the phone for like a week or something.
So you just like clicked?
We really
was
did.
He the only person that you
nope, those
dated?
Were mistakes.
like at that time? No,
you. No. Okay. So I went to coffee like once or twice before I met him, and one of them completely stalked me. Like he didn't know who I was, and he found where I lived and where I worked, and sent me flowers and all this crazy stuff.
See, now terrifying. You do the social media stuff stalking, but you don't do that. That's a no-go.
It was really scary.
Wow.
Yeah, and he actually continued to call me until we were together. Like my husband and I were together for at like month six. He was continuously calling me, and finally, I just handed the phone to my husband.
So was he right before your husband?
Mm-hmm. Like I literally went on one coffee date with him.
That is so interesting.
And he showed up and
that's almost like no. The devil was trying to like stop Absolutely. You from meeting your husband.
So 100% I believe in
so
that.
So Eric is a Christian then. Okay. Yes. So do yes. you found that you like getting together that strengthened your relationship with God? Like how did that work out?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because, anybody who's married knows that like, as you change your life to be not about you and about you as a whole, as a union, it's really hard. And so, and not because of like incompatibilities or anything like that, just because by nature we're selfish. Mm-hmm. Like that's just the part of sin. Even if you're an unselfish person, there's still parts of you that are selfish. And so it's hard the first couple of years to be married. And
really?
Then when you throw in that we are not a part of a perfect design, he had been married before, he had children with somebody else, we're learning to co-parent, we're learning to parent together, we're learning to manage
finances.
You're
learning to parent.
Yeah, like 0 to 4 children.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was wild. They're so amazing. They're like literally the best kids ever. I love them. Anyways, like so many, I hear so many people like say that they don't like their like, I hate the word stepchildren. It's uh-huh. not a word. It shouldn't be a word. They're bonus. Like
yeah.
you're lucky to have them in your mm-hmm. life. Anyways. So.
That's a whole nother rant.
Yeah, it really is. and I know we're like running out of time.
It's so okay. Don't feel the pressure.
The pressure is high. There's so much I need to tell you.
Yeah, I know. Part two. We'll have to get you back on with Mike. We will for sure. Definitely.
His laugh is so infectious.
It
like,
is.
When I listen to it, I'm laughing in the car and I wasn't
I know.
Even, like, laughing until you laughed. But anyways.
Okay, what I do want to ask you though is when did you start coming to life and how did you get here mm-hmm. and all of that?
So we were at a different church in town. They're awesome. Love them. Still
right.
am. But the pastor left and I was like, well, you know, I really want to stay connected. And so I came here for a couple of weeks and I knew a lot of people who were already here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really good friends with the Ellers. And so I like just kind of like fit right in perfectly. And I was like, you know what? This is I connected so well here. I didn't even know I was looking for this. And so I stayed.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when was that?
January or December.
Recently. Yeah, really recently.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was December.
Well, it is almost August, which
it's
crazy.
It doesn't. It does. It feels like February.
Months,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Yeah, we've been here like 8-9 months.
Wow. All right, what is the best advice you have ever been given in your life?
Wow, Jenny.
Deep.
That is. Read the Bible every day.
Wow.
Man, clappy hands
that for that. Is so great. Wow, I don't even think I would have came up with that. All right, we are at 37 minutes. Corinne, question time. Oh, wait, no, Nick.
Question time. Nick's question got the questions.
Time. I'm sorry, I made you really nervous.
You did, I got scared.
You already.
Question time.
All right, we've got a few questions. The first one is from Chris Shell.
Chris Shell. Hey.
Chris Shell wants to know.
That's a pretty
he
name.
Says, you can see God's beauty all around us. Do you also see it below the surface?
Ooh.
Oh,
ooh, I like that question.
Yes. So I actually feel like when you meet people who are carrying the spirit of the Lord, you recognize that before you recognize anything about them. So in that sense, 100% the beauty of God is below the surface.
Like below the surface?
Like
internally?
Yeah.
Okay, but what about like physically? Not physically, but like the dirt, the soil.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's what they meant.
But also
I never even thought about that. That was a great question or answer.
I totally dig it.
Like your soil.
You're talking about you're like soil and stuff. So yes, the beauty of God is absolutely in the soil. I have seen the coolest soils in the world.
Like what makes a soil cool?
So different colors and like different textures and so when soil is formed, it like forms like cake layers kind of, but they're not perfectly really even. They're like kind of wavy sometimes or really wavy in other places. And so there's, you can get contrasting colors. Like I've seen pink soils, really, really red soils, blue soils, purple soils,
like in
green soils.
Around here?
So here I've seen mostly like red and tan and darker colors at the surface. And the only time that I see like grays and blues and greens is if we're in like a really wet environment.
Interesting.
Yes. So cool.
Does it make you want to travel to another country to see what their soil's like? So, like the first thing you do when you get off the plane, like, hey, I'm going to need to dig a hole.
Yes.
Yeah, do you do like cores or how do you?
Yeah. So like I prefer to do like backhoe pits because you can see more, but I do have an auger so I can do cores.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. It's a lot of upper body strength. It's not fun.
But I mean, get back into the working out.
So it'll be really easy for you.
Yes. True that. True that.
All right. This is from Sandy Atkinson.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Love the name Dirt Diva.
Thank you. Thank you.
Question one. Mm-hmm. So what got you interested in soil?
We answered that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, in the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we answered it. So briefly, it was the interest of soil was, mm-hmm. What was it?
The one class at the end of
the
undergrad.
One class at the Ball State. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Number two. What do you do, if anything, at Ball State to encourage more females to explore mostly male-dominated field?
Mm.
We need more strong females leading the way for others to follow.
Yes, 100% agree. I think just seeing a woman in a position in a male-dominated field makes them feel more comfortable to enter into it. I spend a lot of time with my students mentoring them and taking them out in the field and just making sure that their knowledge base is really good so that even if they get in a situation where they have a lot of condescending peers in any way, shape, or form, knowing their stuff gives them the confidence they need.
Hmm. Wow. Competence.
Yes.
That's a good question.
Competence is key.
Yes, it
I
is.
I like that a lot.
Hmm. Our next one is from Emily Miller.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, love
it. She's also answered this question twice because I accidentally sent it out twice, which I'm really glad I did because then I wouldn't have known that you weren't coming anyways.
So
she has a comment.
Okay.
You are such a beautiful person, literally such an amazing mother and friend.
I love you.
With balancing work, family, personal life, etc.
Yeah.
What's the best way to center yourself when you feel overwhelmed or out of sorts?
Wow.
Worship. I literally lock myself in our bedroom.
Without the kids.
Without the kids. And I'm just like, I need you right now because I'm losing my mind. Like there, or I go out to the barn and I talk to God there because like, yeah.
With the animals. Yeah, that's so peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Just being with them. Yeah.
So Tammy Dennis kind of asked the same thing. Earlier, what was one thing that sent her on her dirt path?
On her dirt path.
Soil path.
Soil path.
As we found
soil
out.
Path.
The path that
get it right, Tammy.
And Peggy Eads also asked what prompted Jesse to choose that field and profession.
I know, it's such a, you have to ask that question. Mm-hmm. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, I do.
Did we talk about what made you go the sewage route? Like the...
Oh, no.
I
specialize in an area of soil science that not very many people specialize in. And it's like soil pedology, soil morphology, how it forms. And,
whoa, those are big words.
They're so fun.
If you say so.
Yeah. Like I love studying how soil forms. And you can really see the work of God in it. Like it's really beautiful. And so not a lot of people do that. And the whole time that I was studying like clay mineralogy and like all the stuff that goes into that, I kept getting told there's no job in this. There's no job in this. Mm. This is an area of soil science that doesn't really lead to a job anymore. And I just kind of felt like I was supposed to stay in it. Well, lo and behold, you get to Indiana and it's a huge need for that here because there's so many rural homes that have to have a septic system because there's no sewer. So you have to have knowledge of how the soil forms so that you can figure out how water is going to move through it that comes out of people's homes. Yeah. So I totally believe that it was like God actually leading me into that area of soil science because he knew I was going to end up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so a lot of personal choice that goes into it too. But
right. I believe everything happens for a reason through his hand.
Yes.
Mm. And then we have one more question. This is from Grace Diamond.
Oh, Grace. Hi, Grace.
Has learning and teaching about soil taught you anything that you have found special about God's creation?
Ooh.
Also, yes. Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp. Is that the thing? Uh-huh. Is this the thing?
Chirp, chirp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I low-key know the whole fight song.
You do?
I do, unfortunately.
That is amazing.
I have to.
I am really bad.
Fight for Ball State. We must win this game. Onward now, you Cardinals. Bring glory to your name. Fight, fight, fight. Here's to both your... No, shoot. I'm going to... No, dang it. I went to Purdue.
Oh.
I know those both of them.
You're so amazing.
I know both of them. Shoot. Chirp, chirp.
Oh. That was amazing. You know more than I do.
Yeah, I was about to say, why aren't you chiming in?
Because I read it at graduation every time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I forget the question.
I do too.
I'm sorry.
Something about the beauty.
No, it's okay. Oh, yeah, the chirp, beauty. Chirp. It was a really good question, too.
It was
too.
A good
chirp,
question.
Chirp. As leading, learning and teaching about soil taught you anything that you have found special about God's creation?
Absolutely. Watching the intricate details that have been put into soil formation that allows life to live above the surface, water mm-hmm. to be filtered so that we can drink it. Like, there's so much that goes into it. Like, he had so much detail into the creation of Earth as a place for us to live. It's phenomenal. The more you learn about it.
Does it often make you think, like, how can scientists or other doctors or just anybody not think that there is a God? Because there yes. is so much into it. Like, how there's, would this just come about? Like,
absolutely.
For no
actually,
reason?
The more I read the Bible, the more I see proof. Like, there's so much that goes together between the Bible and science. And a lot of people try to argue against that.
Yeah.
Someday I'm going to write a book about that because mm-hmm. there's so much science that proves the Bible and so much
what
in the
is
Bible
the book?
That aligns with...
People might want to know. Do you remember?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, she wants to write a book.
Oh, you want to write it?
I was like, I don't know what book.
Well, there's
the
a book
soil
to
and
be
the Savior.
Yeah. The Ooh. Soil and the Savior. That's great.
You heard it first here, folks.
Pre-order. iLife.com.
Yes.
Or whatever our website is. LifeOnX10.com. That's what I meant. Okay. So we are done with the questions.
Oh, so cool.
Wrap up the question time.
All right.
Us.
Well, the questions you just heard about, there we go. You just heard about
All
are
you.
From our text group. So we've got a texting group that each week we send out who's going to be on, just some information about them. And we want you to be on our texting group. So you can text podcast to 260-408-8383. That joins us into your group. It joins you into our group. There we mm-hmm. go. So you can send in questions, you can share comments, but we want you guys to be connected and engaged. So again, that's 260-408-8383. So we can stay connected.
Yeah. Text us. So thank you so much for coming on. We are going to have you come again. Like, this is going to be a thing.
I love that
yeah,
so much.
Yeah. Cause I want Mike to interview you too, yep. because okay. it is super, like this
I just
was
want to hear his giggle.
Yeah. Well, this was super fun, and I think we're more fun than him, but I think he does interview very well, and
he
I would
does.
Like to hear what he has to get out of you, but thank you for coming on, and to everybody
me.
Watching and listening, share, like, subscribe, so I put this out on Thursdays, so look for it on Thursdays on our social media, YouTube, comes out on Wednesday on YouTube, but on social media, we want you to like it and share it, and that helps us get the word out there, and it helps it get into somebody's hands that may not know Jesus, that may connect to Jesse's story. And that's how the gospel is shared. So if you would like, comment, share, like our YouTube page, anything helps, everything helps. Yes. So thanks again. Thanks for coming on and be looking for a part two with Mike. Thanks again. Thanks, Corinne, for coming on. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.